Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to SEC Smack Radio.
Blog Talk Radio coming at you. We're going to get our regular Wednesday show in. We don't have Shannon here with us today, but still feel free to call in. We can chat about anything SEC today. We got some basketball to talk about. Is an undefeated team still out there? Want to talk about the tournament a little bit, maybe talk about who might be able to beat Kentucky. Talk about some March Madness. Some women's basketball had a big game this week. Big out-of-conference game. Tennessee might be lined up to win the whole thing, whole SEC again. We'll talk a little bit more recruiting. We'll go over Arkansas and Georgia's schedule, a little fluff we want to get to, some funny stuff and non-sports media, and then hopefully we'll be able to take some callers throughout the night. First thing we want to start off with is UK. They're beating everybody. They're winning ugly. They're winning big. Last night was pretty impressive, I think. I thought they were beat. I thought LSU had them done, cashed out. And they came back and won the game. LSU went on a 16-0 run. Things were looking bleak. Even Calipari said himself he was hoping they would lose. He got a little tired of Towns clowning around. LSU actually outscored Kentucky in the second half. They outscored them by two. They lost by two. Close game, fun to watch. They're still undefeated. March to 40-0. They're over the halfway mark. Toughest part of the schedule is still to come. And I only say that because after they get through this SEC schedule, they go into the SEC tournament, and then they go into the big dance. And I think anybody who's watched college basketball long enough knows when you get there, that's whenever the pressure starts mounting, especially with an undefeated team. They're not as young as they were last year, really. When you look at the Harrison twins coming back, you know, got Dakari down there too, Willie Cauley-Stein. This has got to be Willie Cauley-Stein's last year because he's just looking like a man. Even on that team, he looks like a man amongst boys. You can tell that he's a baller out there. That guy is what makes them go. They're a lot of fun to watch. They're a lot of fun to watch on defense. They're really long. Every time somebody goes up for a shot, every time somebody drives into the paint, I kind of grimace a little bit and just kind of squinch up because you know that there's a shot block coming. I don't know why people even try it, but I guess you've got to get down there to get them to get off the perimeter. You know, they defend the perimeter well too. If they had one more offensive score, I don't think there's any way they'd get beat at all. They had one more offensive score. You get through the Louisville game. I don't think anybody saw the Ole Miss and Texas A&M games going to overtime, but they did. They escaped those. You know, you get some fluff with Alabama. I thought Alabama would give them more of a game because Alabama's got some pretty decent defense, but when you can't score, you can't win. You know, I guess Florida's pretty close. It looked to me that Kentucky flexed a bit in the end. And then this LSU game last night was just a dandy. And then they get kind of a little time off through the week here, and they line back up on Saturday. They're going to take on South Carolina at Rupp. I can't say I expect that to be much of a game. Sorry, South Carolina. You know, maybe if your girls were out there playing, might give them a little more respect. But I don't see that being a close game at all. Then they go to Tennessee. Thompson Bowling Green is always a tough place to play at, but if you've watched the Vols lately, they're in a funk. They can't score. They can't play defense. They can't hit free throws. They can't inbound the damn ball, for Christ's sake. So that's not going to be much trouble, I don't think. Bruce Pearl's always giving Calipari fits. So So I'd circle that Auburn date. They get Auburn at home, but Bruce Pearl always gives Calipari fits. It just seems like he knows something to get the guys out of whack. He knows something to keep them off balance. You know, I've watched that game a few times, even whenever Calipari was at Memphis. Tennessee went down to Memphis and beat the number one team in the country on their own court. They didn't hold serve very long. Vanderbilt beat them the next week, but they did go down there as number two and beat number one. And, you know, that's Pearl. Pearl can do it. But I still don't expect Auburn to win. I just think they'll have a tough time. They get Arkansas at home, and that's, you know, I guess that's their toughest game. They're going to have Florida at home, too. Both those games are going to be nationally televised. Both of those games should have both teams turned up. You know, Kentucky should be turned up for a national game, should still be holding on to undefeated. Florida should be turned up because it's Kentucky. Florida-Kentucky, it's a pretty good rivalry these days. Florida beat them three times last year. I imagine Kentucky's looking to get some payback this year. Then you've got Arkansas. Arkansas beat them a couple times last year as well. Kentucky's gotten a little bit of revenge on both of those teams. I imagine they've still got a bit of a chip on their shoulder for it. I don't blame them. When you lose to a team a couple times in a year, a couple, three times, it's going to give you a bad taste in your mouth. Some of those boys came back, and they know what it's like. They know what playing these teams is like. They know the conference games, no matter what conference you're in, if you're in the OVC, if you're in the MAC, if you're in the American Conference, it doesn't matter. Conference games are intense. You see the guys once or twice a year. You're going to see them every year. You get to know the players. You go to the tournaments and you see them, and it gets intense. And the intensity gets turned up. And you go into the SEC tournament, and it's going to get turned up. It's going to turn up even more. You never know what's going to happen down there in that. You know, you had Vanderbilt one year that came out and beat Kentucky in the final. They probably wouldn't have made the tournament if they hadn't have won that game against Kentucky in the final, but they did. So you just don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. I really can't see anybody beating them in the regular season here. Personally, I think they'll probably move on to the tournament undefeated. So that'll put them at their, let's see, right now they are 11-0 in conference, 24-0 total. You're looking at them being about 31-0 going into the SEC tournament. And so they'll play 2 to 3 games in the SEC tournament for sure. And I'm guessing Arkansas is going to be their biggest challenge there. Who's going to already have seen them twice? Going to be on a neutral floor. I mean, it could happen. Florida is going to be coming into that game as well, depending on their seed. They're going to be coming into that tournament as well. Both Tennessee and Florida, who Kentucky has left on their schedule, are on a losing streak. Tennessee can't score, can't stop anybody. Florida, pretty decent ball team. Probably should be better this year. 5-5, I think, underachieving for a Florida team. Kentucky's got Georgia left on their schedule, and they're 6-4 in the SEC. They're 11-1 at home. They're going to Georgia. Georgia's only lost one game at home. Georgia's scoring pretty decent points this year. They won their last game. They beat Tennessee to kind of get things back on track. Right now, they're up 34-32, 33 over Texas A&M. And that's going in the second half, 8 minutes and 10 seconds left to go. So, Kentucky's going to have a tough time of it. I can't see anybody beating them until the NCAA tournament. When they get in there, you're going to get guys from, say, Wisconsin with Frank Kaminsky. He's a big guy. He can get out on the perimeter and he can shoot the three. Which is kind of what you need to beat them. You need to get one of those big guys out of the paint. You get him out there defending. But with as athletic as they are, and as long as they are, it doesn't matter as much as it may have in other years. They've got NBA guys. You know, I don't think they could beat an NBA team, but they've got NBA guys. They're ready for the NBA. The Harrisons are ready, and definitely Willie Cauley-Stein's ready. He's been ready. So Tyler Ulis is looking really good. when you get Carl Anthony Towns going, like he did last night, he had just a couple terrible, awful plays. I mean, he's going hot dogging on the rim, just terrible, awful play when he does the chin up. You just can't do that. If you don't do that and you get a stop in a basket, you're up 10. But you do that. You do it. They hit the free throw for the technical. They get a three ball on the possession. You can't do it. And then you're within four. Kentucky could have run away with the game. And just, I think that mistake didn't allow them to have it. And then I don't know if anybody watched the post game, but you had Towns kind of clowning on Calipari. I don't think he could hear what he's saying, but Calipari was actually talking about Towns' mistake whenever he did it. He was actually back there trying to photobomb him, and when he did it, Calipari was actually sitting there talking about how Towns was clowning, and then Towns is behind him clowning. It's just wrong place, wrong time, I guess. It's pretty funny, though, when you look at it, because you know Calipari, he's going to see that again. Somebody's going to show him that. Somebody's going to let him see that. So that's pretty great. When you run down the standings in the SEC, you got Kentucky at number one, 11-0. Don't think anybody's going to catch them. They're probably going to lock in for the one seed. You got the number one defense in the SEC. They're only giving up 1,200 points so far this season. And they're scoring 1,764 points. Arkansas has scored 1,926 points. That is a good offensive basketball team. That's a really good basketball team. That's probably why they're sitting in second. Texas A&M, I think surprisingly, 7-3. You've got Kennedy down there. Came out of my alma mater, Murray State. And he's doing a good job. He had some problems his first year, some health issues. But it seems we've gotten over that. He's got Texas A&M righted. 16-6 overall, sitting in third place, 10-1 at home. Ole Miss is 7-3. They're 16-7 overall, and right behind them is a surprising Georgia, 6-4 in the SEC. LSU gave Kentucky a hell of a game last night. They're sitting right behind Georgia, and they're sitting in sixth place. So, you know, this all counts for seeding. You know, seeding and buys in the tournament. You've got Tennessee sitting right behind them. They've got a big game tonight at Vanderbilt. Always a tough game. Probably going to pick against my Vols in this game. Hate to do it, but it really looks like they're gonna fall tonight the way they've been playing lately. And Vanderbilt's just got some outstanding young talent that just relentless guys. Florida's sitting down at 5-5. Don't know what their schedule looks like. I can probably look it up, but I don't expect them to sit down that low forever. I think they're going to probably pick up a couple places. They've got six games left to go in the SEC, six or eight. They've got one against Tennessee. They've still got tough games with Ole Miss and Texas A&M, but they've got Vandy and Missouri. So that's probably going to be two wins there. But the rest of that schedule is pretty tough. They've got Kentucky again on the road, Texas A&M on the road and at home. Texas A&M is doing pretty well this year. They've got Missouri. Not going to be much. LSU and Florida is always a fun game to watch, man. Always a fun game to watch. So that's going to be a good one. Florida, I think they should pick up a couple, three more wins, go in the tournament. Because we play 18 SEC games now. So they should go in the tournament. I'd say probably 9-9 in the SEC. Probably won't be ranked. I believe Florida got Alabama at 5-6. They're going to pick up a low seed. Mississippi State 4-7. Vanderbilt 3-7. South Carolina at 3-8. Auburn at 3-8 as well. And surprisingly, I think Missouri at 1-10. I am surprised. Maybe I should have seen that coming. I didn't. I thought Missouri was going to do pretty well this year. You know, they come out of the Big 12 or the big whatever, how many teams they have. You know, I'm not even sure. Does anybody know? Call in and tell me. But they're coming out of there. You've got some tough teams over there. Texas, Kansas. You know, sometimes Kansas State can play a little bit of ball. And A&M's now with us, so you always think of that as a little bit of a stronger conference than the SEC. I don't think it's true anymore. SEC only has two teams ranked, but I still think The SEC's a little better. Missouri, though, at 0-10, they're getting outscored on the year. Only Auburn and Missouri getting outscored on the year. Surprisingly, Auburn, I'm not surprised at their record because of their talent level, even though they have Bruce Pearl. But he's a high-energy, high-effort guy, and you would think that they'd just play a little bit better defense when you're giving up 1,687 points so far in the year. You're not going to win more. They're going to win a lot of ball games unless you're scoring like 19-26 like Arkansas. But we're going to take a break. We'll move on to women's basketball a little bit. Hopefully we'll get some callers calling in, and we'll see you in just a few minutes.
Take your tailgate party or special event from amateur to national championship with Shannon's Epic Catering. From award-winning barbecue to seafood, homemade sides and sauces, we can create a menu tailored to fit your needs and budget. Why not make your game day epic? Contact Shannon Runnels and see what SEC can do for you. Find Shannon Runnels on Facebook in your favorite sports group.
That booty, show me the booty, give me the booty, I want the booty, back up the booty, I need the booty, I like the booty, oh what a booty, shaking that booty, I saw the booty, I want the booty, Lord what a booty, bring on the booty, give up the booty, loving the booty, round booty, down for the booty, I want the booty, hunting the booty, chasing the booty, casing the booty, getting the booty, beautiful booty, smoking booty, talk to the booty, more booty, fine booty.
Hey, and we're back. It's Rocket Man on SEC Smack Radio, Blog Talk Radio. I wanted to go ahead and bring up some bracketology things. Right now, Joe Lunardi usually does a pretty good job with his brackets. He's got six SEC teams in, which is pretty good. I don't think we had that many in last year. Of course, Kentucky's a one seed. And I think they're probably going to end up being the overall one seed. They'll be in the Midwest. They'll be probably close to home. Louisville, it looks like. And then in that same bracket, it doesn't look. They've got Ole Miss. It's going to be Omaha with the 10 seed. Taking on Indiana so far. And then in the South, it looks like you're going to have LSU, who's kind of on the bubble, I think, a little bit. If they win that game last night, I think it guarantees them a tournament spot. But they just couldn't pull it out. So they're going to still be sitting on the bubble, around 11 seed it looks like. In the East, you got Arkansas sitting in a 6 seed. I think they're a lock. I think Arkansas is definitely a lock. Barring some insane turn of events where they lose out or something close to it, it's not going to matter. I think they're going to get in. They're ranked right now at 24th. They've been ranked at two separate times this year. So I don't think they're going to have much trouble getting in the tournament. Georgia looks like they might be in, almost a lock. I think you probably get a couple more wins during the regular season, maybe one in the SEC tournament. You're going to lock up maybe a 6 or 8 seed. And then it looks like we're going to have A&M as a 10 seed. I think they're going to go higher. I can see them, maybe they get a win against Florida. Not sure what their schedule looks like. Let's just take a quick look at that. You know, Texas A&M, their RPI is about 39. So, I mean, that's a little bit – 10 seed's a little low for them. Their strength of schedule is what's killing them. They have – they're 0-2 against the top 25 RPI, top 50 RPI. You know, I guess that 10 seed probably does fit them. 3-5 versus – top 100. They're 9-0 against sub 150s, but so I guess that's good. They've got Georgia coming up, which is probably a tournament team. They've got Florida, a tournament team. LSU coming up, that's a tournament team. And then they've got Arkansas. They got Florida twice, actually. So if you can get one of those Florida wins, play Arkansas close, maybe pick up that LSU win, I think they're probably going to lock up a tournament spot as well. You know, I don't see, where did they put Florida? I don't really see where they put Florida. Florida's going to get in. I mean, they're going to get in by name, at least. They go in, they win tournament games, they win big games. You know, they look good in the tournament. They got a couple titles. And with Billy Donovan, Billy Donovan's a great coach. I think you're going to get on merit alone. I think they can probably win a couple games, but I don't think they're a Final Four contender. Arkansas, I think, could go to the Final Four. I think Kentucky's probably a lock for the Final Four. They're going to see Duke, Wisconsin, somebody like that in the Final Four. Or maybe you get another Wichita State or something crazy like that happening again. But, I mean, how many times does that have to happen before we start calling it crazy? I don't know. I'm not sure. But with the bracketology, six SEC teams getting on, it's about as good as we can hope for, I think. Six is a pretty good number. Only teams with more is the Big 10 and the Big 12. So I'm not sure if Kentucky, being as good as they are, brings the conference RPI up that much, because you got to think Kentucky's going to be number one in RPI, BPI as well. You know, being undefeated, playing the schedule they have, beating the people they have, and beating the people they have like they've beat them. They have beat the hell out of some really good teams. I didn't expect them to just absolutely crush and dominate some of the teams that they have, but what they did to UCLA was historic. Kansas, I think, should have opened a lot of eyes. It should have opened a lot of eyes. When you go out there and you walk, I think it was something like 41-7 at half, UCLA. That should have opened some eyes. Some people should have been looking down there going, yeah, those guys are going to win some basketball games this year. But SEC women, I think I watched South Carolina. I watched them play against UConn, and as a Tennessee fan, I'm very familiar with Geno. I'm familiar with his resume and what he's done for women's basketball. I mean, he's got all the accolades Pat Summitt has. It's a good thing she was there to pave the way for guys like Geno to come in and accomplish what he has, because without Pat, I don't think any of it's on the level, any of women's basketball is on the level, including the WNBA, without Pat Summitt and what she did at Tennessee. But South Carolina got their first taste of the big show. They got whooped. I don't think UConn is that much more talented. It's a 25-point game. I don't think UConn is that much more talented than South Carolina is. I mean, they shot 50% at the three-point line. They shot 40% from the field. They only had half their free throws. They had 18 fouls. And what that tells me, I don't think they're ready for the limelight. I don't think they're ready for a game that big. The girls are good. They look really good in the SEC. SEC's one of the better conferences when it comes to women's basketball. Was the premier conference for a long time. I think a lot of basketball is caught up, especially when you look at the ACC and the American. You look at what Louisville and Connecticut have been doing, North Carolina over the years, Baylor, Notre Dame. Some of these schools, really, Stanford out west, really, really good. You know, it's no longer the Vols and the Texters. You know, times have changed. So when you see South Carolina doing as well as they are, you got to be happy for them. They're 10-0 in the conference. But, you know, when you go to Connecticut, it's the number one versus number two matchup. You're on the road. I don't think South Carolina's women's basketball has ever had a moment that big. And in that moment, they crumbled. I don't think you can't really fault them for it. It's a big moment. It's been a long time. It's been a long time coming for another SEC team to do, besides LSU, to do something like that. And you know, they got crushed. I don't think that says their season's over. I don't think that says they can't win the national championship. You obviously don't go 22-0 by being not very good. You know, 22-1 is, you know, I think there's plenty of teams around the nation that would take 22-1. So don't count them out. But when you look at it, Connecticut shot 55% from the field. They shot over 70% from threes. They shot over 70% from the free throw line, and they only had 11 fouls. So they only had one half where you went into the bonus. You didn't get to the rim. You didn't take high percentage shots. You didn't take out their high percentage shots. You didn't block them. Because you don't shoot 55% by shooting jumpers, especially in women's basketball. You just don't do it. So South Carolina looks like they got out-hustled and just got out-played. Maybe the moment was a little too big for them. You know, those Huskies are pretty good. Those Huskies are pretty good, which makes me think, you know, there's a matchup coming pretty soon. You're going to get to see the Tennessee Lady Vols take on South Carolina game. It's coming up on February 23rd, and it is at South Carolina. So they get a chance for some redemption there. And then they've got Mississippi State at home and UK on the road, both top 15 teams, UK top 10 team. So they've got a chance to get some more experience in those big games, and they've got a chance to, you know, get a reprieve, keep that number one seed, and, you know, maybe even win the SEC tournament. So don't count them out just yet. But I'm going to go ahead and make my call. Lady Vols are going to take the SEC and going to take the tournament too. Sorry, Gamecocks. That's the way it is. Wanted to take some time, do some more schedule breakdown, see what everybody thinks, what I think about. We've got Arkansas next year, and we're just going to do all these in the alphabetical order, each team from the SEC. We'll do one from the West, one from the East. We've already done Alabama, and we've done Florida. So we're going to do Arkansas tonight. They open up with UTEP. That's going to be a dub. We've got Toledo at home as well. That's going to be a dub. And Texas Tech comes in. Texas Tech. Now, last year that was going to be one of their most heralded games, and they mopped the floor with Texas Tech. I think that kind of got people looking a little bit at Arkansas. It didn't really wake everybody up, but it got people looking. Well, now they get Texas Tech at home, so I think that's a dub. So you're sitting at 3-0 right now. Texas A&M, I'm going to give them a dub on that one. They go to Neyland versus my Volunteers. That's a loss for Arkansas. So 4-1. Going into your game on the road at Alabama, that's pretty good. That's going to be, you know, two ranked teams probably playing right there. And I'm going to take a loss there, too, for them. Then they get the Auburn Tigers after an open date at home. We'll give them a dub on that one. We'll give them a dub against Arkansas. So you're looking at 5-2 right now, probably still ranked. UT Martin, 6-2. Ole Miss. Ass whooping last year. Give it to him again. Give it to him again. LSU. At LSU, I'm going to give him a loss there. So that's three losses so far. At home, they win that game, and they beat Missouri at home as well. So you get three losses, looking at 9-3. 9-3 might put you in the SEC championship game next year. I think the SEC is going to be hell. I think it's going to be hell in the East. I think it's going to be hell in the West. The West is obviously going to be stronger when you've got LSU. You've got this upstart Arkansas team that I have a lot of respect for. I have a lot of respect for what Brent Bielema's doing. He's a good coach. He's a good coach. You look at But Wisconsin's not going to the Rose Bowl anymore. Wisconsin's not doing it. I'm sorry. Brett's gone. It's not happening. You know, Barry Alvarez, when you've got coaches leaving for, was it Washington State for a Big 12 job? Yeah, man. You're not an elite program anymore. And I think Bielema brought a lot of that in, and he's bringing that to Arkansas, bringing that hard-nosed attitude. I really like it. I can't count Arkansas out of the SEC championship game, although I think they're going to have to be a dark horse. I think Alabama's going to have to be your favorite. I think LSU's going to have to be your second favorite, probably Arkansas, or excuse me, Auburn right behind them. And then Arkansas going to be a dark horse sitting there. And four, Arkansas has got a chance to do some special things this year. The schedule's not as bad as it was last year. Of course, that's given Texas Tech more credence. But when you're playing in the SEC West, you're going to take some losses. Nobody's going undefeated in the SEC for a couple years. Nobody's going to do it. It's getting too deep. The talent pool's coming in. When you look at, I think, 12 of the top 24 recruiting classes, SEC teams, the coaches are in place. I think you got Stoops at Kentucky. He's going to bring them out of the mire. You know, they're probably going to get a bowl. They were one game away from getting to a bowl. Probably one possession away from beating Louisville to get there. So the SEC is going to be hell. So 9-3 from Arkansas might get you in to the championship game. When you look over at Georgia's schedule, bunch of junk. They get Louisiana Monroe at home. That's a win. Vanderbilt on the road may as well be. It'll probably have more Georgia fans in it than Vandy fans. The Vandy fans, they don't come out, man. They go out to the strip and they drink their sorrows away. I know for a fact because I've seen it. South Carolina at home. So South Carolina's their bugaboo. I couldn't believe South Carolina beat Georgia last year. I didn't see it coming at all. So, but South Carolina, there's their bugaboo. But I'm still going to give Georgia the win. They get them at home. Chubb's probably still going to be pretty healthy and chugging after only taking on Louisiana Monroe and Vanderbilt. Plus, you're going to have Sonny Michael. Recruiting class coming in. They're going to have to run the football with a young quarterback. So you got to think that the running game's going to be warmed up by then. Then they get the Southern Jaguars at home. So you're looking at 4-0 with the Alabama Crimson Tide coming into town. Alabama is going to need this game. This is going to be a big game for Alabama. It's not all sunshine and rainbows for Alabama next year, because they're going to start it off rough. They're starting off rough. They're going to go to Dallas for Wisconsin. They've got Ole Miss at their house. Ole Miss's front seven is still going to be nasty. They're still going to get beat up a little bit. You know, they're going to play four straight games, and then they're going to take off to Sanford Stadium. I think Georgia can beat them between the hedges. I think Georgia plays the kind of football it takes to beat Alabama. They're going to beat the hell out of them in the trenches. They're going to beat the hell out of them on the edges. Georgia's going to have a bit of a pass rush. Alabama, they've always got a strong front seven. I never really have thought of Alabama as one that really just got after the quarterback like crazy. You know, when you look at Georgia, you think of guys like David Green who get after it. Georgia likes to get after the quarterback. Alabama's going to try to run it. Georgia's vulnerable to the run. I mean, I think a high-scoring affair. But I'm going to give Georgia the win there. I think Georgia's going to take that one home. And then Georgia's heading, they're coming off a big, that's going to be an emotional victory or loss against Alabama. Because anytime you've got the Crimson Tide coming to your house, it's a big game. I don't give a shit who you are. I don't care. I don't care if you're Florida Southern. I don't care if you're Southwest Africa, School of the Blind, Deaf, Amputees. If Alabama's coming to your house, it's a big game. Alabama football, they're a big game. So that's going to be emotional no matter what. And then after that, you head off and you play the Tennessee Volunteers on the road, which is going to – that stadium's going to be amped. That's going to be a loss. Georgia's going to take a loss there. Then they get Missouri at home. Tigers are kind of a mystery next year. I don't think you can count on Gary Pinkel's boys anymore, though. They've won the SEC East 2 years in a row. I don't give a shit if it's down. They've won it. They've gotten it done. Pinkel takes 3 stars, turns them into 5 stars. He's got the SEC Defensive Player of the Year 2 years in a row. Shane Ray, Michael Sam. They're coming off the edge. Their defense is going to be nasty in the front. Georgia's going to be way too much for them, though. That's a win. Florida in the The cocktail party, man. I don't know, man. I'm sitting here thinking about they've already got that game scheduled on CBS on 3:30 Eastern. That's how big that football game's going to be. With McElwain coming into Florida, Florida's going to be improved. Their offense is going to be better. They're going to have Harris back there. He can tote the rock. He can throw the rock. So I don't really know how to call that game. Florida whipped their asses last year in Jacksonville. And just for that reason, I'm going to take the Gators. So that's two losses so far. And you got Kentucky. What's going to be an improved Kentucky team, but you're going between the hedges. So we'll go ahead and give Georgia the win there. They go to Auburn. And this has got to be a payback game. They whooped the shit out of Auburn at their place last year. They whooped the shit out of them. Auburn's losing a lot of talent. Losing a lot of talent out on the edges. Going to probably lose a lot of speed. I think it might be a little too much for them. I don't know. I'm not super familiar with their roster, but they should. I think Georgia goes in there and takes the win, just because they can run the football. They're going to play decent defense, and that's how you go on the road. That's how you win on the road. Georgia Southern is a win, and I think they lose at Georgia Tech. They're probably going to go out to Bobby Dodd. They're going to take a loss. It's a tough place to play, especially whenever you're a Bulldog. Georgia beat them a few years in a row. I want to say 4 to 5 years in a row. If I'm wrong, call in, let me know. Be happy to hear you talk about your Bulldogs and what you think of my predictions. But, you know, Georgia Tech went ahead and beat them, and then went out and beat Mississippi State as well right after it. Kind of put the SEC down a little bit there towards the end of the year. So Georgia's going to be in the running for the SEC championship game because I've got them losing three, but only two in the SEC. Georgia's going 9-3. They're going to end up running 6-2 in the SEC. It's going to all depend on who Tennessee beats. You know, Tennessee's got their Florida bugaboo. We'll talk about that later. I almost want to pencil the Bulldogs into the SEC championship game. We don't know what's going to happen with Missouri. We know Kentucky and Vanderbilt aren't going to be involved. Go ahead and just count them out. Those are wins for everybody. That's three wins right there. Just put it on the table. South Carolina is going to be a revenge game. I don't think South Carolina is going to be worth a damn next year. I think South Carolina makes a bowl game, it'll be damn lucky. That's a team that's trending down. I mean, they need some hope. Beating Georgia early in the season would really give them some hope. But I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. You see players that you love, and they're great players, and you follow them through their careers, and you ignore the fact that they're getting old. You ignore the little nuances. You ignore them losing a step. You ignore them making a few more mistakes, a few bad passes, you know. And you think you do the same with coaches. And when you look at Spurrier, he's not even chucking his visor anymore, guys. I think Spurrier's got one more year left in him. He's going to call it quits. And, you know, that'll be the end of it. Poor feller. But he's still a great coach. He's still one of the best to ever grace the SEC. I think Florida should be proud to have had him. Their program really wasn't much to talk about until he came to them. He won national championship with them. Their first national championship. He took them to new heights. He left them in good shape whenever Zook came in. Zook just wasn't much of a – he wasn't much of a coach. He's a great recruiter who set up another great class. Urban Meyer comes in his first year. He's got Chris Leak. He's got Tim Tebow. He wins. You know, there's a legacy of Florida that I think the Spurrier should always be tied to. He's taken South Carolina to the heights they've never been before. Too bad they're making rings out of winning 10 games a couple years in a row. But, you know, apparently if you're a Gamecock, you make rings for that. Down in Tennessee, we only make rings for winning a national title. But whatever. We haven't done it lately, so I'll shut the fuck up. Anyhow, I think it's time for the guy to go. I think it's time for him to take a break. Maybe play some golf. I'd love to see him on ESPN. I would love to see him with Lou Holtz on ESPN. That shit would be hilarious. Because you get Lou Holtz, who's so as a matter of fact, he's spitting on the mic, you know. Lou Holtz is spitting on the mic. C. Spurrier's trying to get away from the spit because he's got his visor pulled down over his face to keep him getting spit in the face. It could be pretty fantastic. And then you get Spurrier, who's going to get inevitably asked a question about Notre Dame. And I can hear Spurrier already. Well, not too good in Spurrier's way, man. The guy's a great coach. He's a Hall of Famer. Be glad to see him off the sidelines. But I hate to see him go. Really, really would. But I think this is it for him. I think this is a swan song this year. Hopefully they can get to a good bowl game. Win it. They got questions at quarterback, so I don't know if that's going to go down or not. Recruiting-wise, we'll take a break. Hopefully get some callers in, and we'll come back to that. Hey, guys. Not sure what to get that special lady for a special event? Check out Hotman's Pearl Necklaces. Here at Hotman's, we only shoot out the finest pearl clusters. That way you show your special someone just how much you enjoyed your special event.
Take your tailgate party or special event from amateur to national championship with Shannon's Epic Catering. From award-winning barbecue to seafood, homemade sides and sauces, we can create a menu tailored to fit your needs and budget. Why not make your game day epic? Contact Shannon Runnels and see what SEC can do for you. Find Shannon Runnels on Facebook in your favorite sports group.
And now more of SEC Smack Radio.
What's up, guys? We're back. SEC Smack Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Coming back in. We got about 15 minutes left to go. Hopefully we're going to grab some callers. Hadn't had anybody call in yet. Don't even know if anybody's out there listening. That's fine. Don't really care. I'm going to ramble on anyways. If you're listening in, thanks for being here. We're going to go over a little bit of recruiting. And then we're going to get into some fluff. That's the only thing I got on recruiting. Florida went ahead and they picked up CC Jefferson. He signed his national letter of intent finally. Finally, they were able to come up with a fax machine in his hometown. Finally, someone went to Office Depot, took a fax machine to his house. They called Bell South. Somebody installed a phone line, and they got that thing sent in. That's great. It's good for Florida. It's a big pickup. It's a five-star. You don't see often a first-year head coach with 2 weeks to recruit coming in and picking up a five-star. Butch Jones has done an amazing job of recruiting. He couldn't get a five-star when he came in. Jim McElwain got one. Jim McElwain came in and got him a five-star. It's pretty amazing, pretty cool. Pretty happy for him. Hope we beat their asses consistently, severely, and badly. I really hope Tennessee beats them by 50 in the swamp. Don't see it happening because it's fucking Florida and they always fucking beat us. But whatever. You know, everybody's got their bugaboo. Let's see here. I think CC Jefferson's about the last thing, you know, as far as recruiting goes in the SEC. The rankings are out. Everybody knows where everybody's at. You know, Alabama did great. Vanderbilt did shit. Everybody knows that. Pretty happy about the classes that came in. A lot of talent coming in. I think a lot of teams address needs. Florida addressed a lot of needs in theirs. And that's really all I got to say about recruiting right now. If you want to call in and talk some recruiting, we got about five 5 or 10 more minutes. Take some phone calls. We can talk about your team. Talk about basketball. But I want to talk a little fluff here. Gonna get out of the sports realm for just a second, and I want to talk about Kanye West. And the reason I want to talk about Kanye West is not because I want to give him more airplay. I think Kanye West gets enough airplay as it is, and he only does the shit that he does because he wants the airplay. He goes up there with Taylor Swift, a 15-year-old girl. And takes the mic from her and tells her she doesn't deserve to be there. He goes up there with a 50-year-old man who weighs probably less than Taylor Swift at 15 and tries to take the mic. The funniest part about that is Beck sees him coming. Beck sees him coming up the stage and says, fuck it, take the mic. Here's the award. I don't give a shit. Beck's been doing it for years. Beck plays 14 different instruments. You want to call the guy not an artist? That shows how stupid you are. But how this relates to sports. Brandon Browner plays for the New England Patriots. He was a Seattle Seahawk, won Super Bowl last year. New England Patriot this year, won a Super Bowl. Nobody was more surprised to see the Patriots win the Super Bowl this year on that last play than the Patriots themselves. But that's another story altogether. Brandon Browner played corner. He plays cornerback. He played for Oregon State. Spent a little time in the Canadian League. Drafted by the Denver Broncos 2005. Seahawks go up there and get him. They go and get him. Basically, if you know the Seahawks, they go get him because of his attitude. They like guys that are just hardcore. That's what they want to do. They want to go out there. They want to hit you in the mouth. They want to hit you in the mouth again. They'll take a few punches. But they're going to keep hitting you in the mouth, kind of what they do. So you gotta know a guy that has that attitude from a team like that is going to have something to say about some dumb shit that happened. Browner says it in about 3 tweets. He says, Kanye West is a sucker. Everybody don't listen to Beyonce. Second time he's tried to steal somebody's shine. First time it was a 15-year-old girl. His next tweet says, Kanye try and play that I'm weird because of my genius. None of the greats pull that stupid shit. Meaning Marley, Mike Jack, Tupac, Jay-Z. So Michael Jackson, Tupac, and Jay-Z don't do that kind of shit. They have class. I'm going with Brandon on this one. And then even better, he says, people who he tried, Beck and Taylor Swift. Real tough guy. If only I had been Beck. For one night, Kanye would be rapping through the wire. I don't know about y'all, but I would love to see Kanye West go try to take an award from Brandon Browner. I really would love it. You know that cat would stroke that fool. He'd just whip him. It'd be a beautiful sight. It'd be probably a long time coming. And you can't have that foolishness. You can't have it. I don't know why the Grammys won't do something about it. They probably won't. Because if they do something about it, you're probably going to lose some viewership. You're probably going to lose some of the artists that would come. A lot of people accepting awards instead of being there to pick them up. They'd be accepting them, from afar. So probably not going to go down. I would love to see Brandon Browder do that. Also, Chandler Jones, defensive end from the New England Patriots, has challenged his brother, John Bones Jones, to a fight. John Jones, if you don't know, he's the light heavyweight champion of the world, one of the best to ever do it. He's been undefeated hasn't lost for a couple years now. So his brother wants to fight him for charity. I'll buy that ticket. That'll be a lot of fun to see. Yeah, don't nobody do it like brothers, man. Don't nobody do it like brothers. You love each other, but when you hate each other. If you've got a brother, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It never ends. It never ends with them. You're joking 1 minute, you're fighting the next minute, and if somebody else touches them, you kill them. You kill the son of a bitch that touches your brother. But I'd pay money to see that. I hope that goes down. I hope it's on pay-per-view. I will pirate it. I will stream it. I will make sure everybody sees that shit. You know, everybody donate some money. It'll be great. It'll be a whole lot of fun. I think that's about it. That's all we got for the night. I've enjoyed being on here. Hopefully you've enjoyed listening. Hopefully you'll come back next week. If not, you know, I don't blame you. You got better shit to do on a Wednesday night, like watch whatever bullshit NBC or ABC show's on. You know, keep up with your NBA fantasy team, whatever it is that you do. But right now, we got some good basketball going on. We got Texas A&M and Georgia. 55-51, Georgia winning on the road with about a minute, 25 seconds left to go. Tune in, check out some SEC basketball, enjoy it, and that's all for tonight. Thanks for being here. Have a good night.